Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show. Host Green Diva Meg and co-host Green Diva Mizar share resources and ideas as they explore fun and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green. And now, your host, Green Diva Meg.
You know, we also have, because I think it's Earth Day, I've been offered so many products. We've been offered so many products to play with.
And we have
So we're snacking on these. And I think these are delicious, these crunchies. They've got the roasted vegetables and the freeze-dried fruit there, which
fruit.
I kind of want a piece, but I can't reach it.
Have you ever heard a mango sound like this?
I know. Or a strawberry.
Here you go.
Oh, the strawberry is kind of squishy,
Not quite the same.
I was expecting crunch, and it's kind of like,
that's good. The strawberries are like the ones you get in that cereal. A Special K.
And these are great. They're healthy little snacks.
Yes, they are.
No sugar, and they're naturally gluten-free and all those other
benefits. We're busy eating, and he's like reading the good, the real information.
I figure if you're going on a long bike ride or a hike or something, or even like if you give these to your kids as a nice option for
snacks for the kids instead of candy and stuff. It's simple and it's good. It's just a matter of what they're used to. And if they get used to this instead of candy, that's a good thing.
Oh, yes. I could totally get used to this because, of course, freeze-dried does concentrate the sweet. It is sticking to the teeth, right?
As I'm sitting
Sticks
here
to dental
with my
work.
Finger in my mouth. Yeah, it is. You can enjoy it later if you don't get it out of your teeth now. That's
the gift that keeps
snack,
giving.
Yeah, the snack that keeps on giving.
Yeah. It's good, though. It's really good. I like them. Now, do they only have the tropical fruit and the roasted veggies?
Well, that's all they sent us. I think they have others, and we'll take a look.
At their website, something. Yeah.
Do we have a photograph of these
things? And this is Crunchies? Is that the name of them?
They're called Crunchies,
I'm going to take a photograph right now.
Oh, of our
while
Crunchies
we're talking.
Here?
You guys talk amongst yourselves. I'm going to play.
Crunchiesfood.com.
And by the way, I love Instagram because suddenly I feel like a photojournalist. Like, really.
I haven't, of course, you know me, Miss Techno Not. Do you want me in the picture?
Yeah.
Actually, that was pretty funny. All right, folks, go to Instagram and look for Green Diva Meg, and you will see.
Meg? Yes, she's there. And I know that Jamie took a funny picture, too. Anyway, how many years is this for Earth Day? 42? 43?
1970 was the first year, so this
43.
Would be 43.
Oh, I was just an infant. What can I say?
1970?
No.
Was I born?
Really. No, the reality
Ed,
is I
you're
was
not allowed to laugh.
I was here.
I just smiled to myself.
No, you smiled and laughed to everybody over here. That's okay. I think I'm the grand diva in the room, by the way.
The grand diva?
Well, the oldest
Are
diva.
Are you the green diva matriarch or something?
I think I am. Mm. I don't know how old Ed R is.
How Ed old R. Ed R? How old Ed R?
I was 3 in 1970.
Oh, I hate you. You were not.
Yeah.
You were?
Yeah.
Little snot-nosed kid. And he's always wearing green.
And back then, I am wearing green.
I was babysitting for you in 1970.
Back then, do you guys remember those commercials, the American Indian crying when he saw the letter?
Yeah, you mean the Italian guy? No, I'm not kidding.
Yes, he was the actor doing
the
the
actor
the
was some Italian guy who they dressed up as an
People
Native
don't remember
American.
That. That's
I
when
do.
They put the clean air, clean
I remember
water
that.
Act in.
Yeah. Listen, I was born a little before you.
So you
just
remember
a little bit.
You remember the Cuyahoga River going on fire?
Oh my gosh, no, I don't.
I think it's in Ohio, but yeah, that was one of the events that just let people know, how
we got serious
what disgusting
issues.
Shape
but
the environment
was
getting.
But you know what? Though? How come we haven't come farther in these 43 years? Actually, I have an answer to that. I'm going to answer my own question. Because in the 1980s and 90s, and I'm painting with a very broad brush here, we all got rich because the stock market was on fire. So we started to run around with a cell phone in one hand and a plastic bottle of water in the other. And we became complacent. We became entitled. And again, I am painting with a very broad brush. Don't want to speak poorly about anybody. Whatever the case is, that's fine. But I think as a whole, society became entitled. Society became selfish. I think we became, became very nice people.
The generation of me.
It's the me.
80s was like
more,
nasty
more,
that
more.
Way.
It's also become a consumer-driven society because consumerism is what drives the economy.
Yeah.
So it's the multiple benefits.
But we're such an addictive society. If if some is good, then more is better. And when it comes to consumerism or anything else.
That, you know. And I call the advertisers, the people, I call them the big Madison Avenue monsters. Because they plant an idea in someone's head or in our heads collectively, and they say, it's better, when really, is it?
One of those commercials with the guy with the small kids around the table, bigger is better. The great commercials are hysterical.
They're for AT&T.
AT&T, yes.
Yeah, where they're exaggerating, yeah. Like the little girl that goes, and then you turn into a werewolf, and you go, because you don't want to, I want to be human again.
I thought it was a great commercial because it cracked me up, but now that I think about it, if I don't remember the brand that it's behind, it's probably not a good commercial.
No, I think it's AT&T.
Yeah, but when you talk about Madison Avenue Monster, this is where bottled water came from, right? And I know you can riff on that. You go, girl. I'm playing on Instagram.
But that's my biggest riff, because you know I do water filtration, and I do the not only safe water, but the healthy water. And people thought that the bottled water, we were told to think it was better. And then, of course, the whole exercise craze, and Jim Fix became one of the, remember, do you remember who Jim Fix was? He was one of the first really proponents of running and of exercising while running, which is the sad fact is he dropped dead at 56 because he had congenital heart disease, which is just a travesty, just an awful travesty.
That's
what I was
thinking of Yul. Who's that guy that...
Jack LaLanne?
No.
He's still alive, isn't he?
No, he's not. He died.
Okay. Wait, but he was like 100 years old, right?
90, no, not even.
Couldn't that guy have got hit by a bus? Wouldn't that have been a better going out story?
You know what? At any rate, he started sort of this running jogging. And, of course, Madison Avenue latched on. And we had to have a bottle of water with us everywhere we went because it was better. Well, at least that's what we were told. And so now we have big garbage dumps of plastic, not only in the Pacific Ocean. They have one in the North Atlantic, in the South Atlantic. They're everywhere. Plastic bottles. Oh, please. Megan, you got me started.
But now. Madison Avenue went in this whole rant about how bottled water is better.
I know. That's what I was saying.
Yeah, exactly.
And they taught us to believe that.
Yeah.
And we have a whole generation that grew up that way. Now, I'm not saying tap water is better.
Right.
Because of all of the consumerism, et cetera, we have polluted most, if not all, of the 3% of the Earth's potable water, because that's how much is potable. And of that 3%, it's just, there's just
pretty
no such thing. There's
statistic.
No such thing as pure, clean water.
3% of the fresh water.
Yeah.
It's actually like 1/1,000,000,000% of the actual water.
Yeah, because there's a lot of unpotable, you know, salt
exactly.
water, whatever.
No,
yeah.
exactly. But you know what I always like to say, too? It's a finite resource. The water that we have here is the water that was here when the Earth was created because it just evaporates.
And then comes down.
And comes down. So I always tell people, they freak people out, and I say, you know, I always think, I don't know why I make this association, but I said, you know, the same water that John the Baptist used to baptize Jesus Christ could be the water that you're drinking right now.
Or the one that the dinosaur pooped in, you know. Either
well,
one.
Okay, I was trying to be more delicate, you know what I mean? But that's okay. Yeah, pooped in or the one that's in your toilet right now.
No. Tell that to the folks at Keystone who are trying to put the tar sands pipeline over the aquifers.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord.
Is it my imagination or is there no one in D.C. like worried that they're going to?
Why aren't they paying attention, Ed? This thing is a travesty, this pipeline.
People don't realize what the environmental impact is going to be from this thing, and I don't know why there's not more people in D.C. who really get it.
Yeah. Because they're being paid off by the people who run the Keystone Pipeline.
By the way, quick, before you get me off target and don't get me started.
We're already started.
There was a tar sands pipeline burst in Arkansas last week.
Yeah, yes. It was.
And to me, it is amazing how Exxon clamped down on the area. They controlled the media. They shut out the media.
Yeah.
They put a no-fly zone in. They sent in 600 of their own experts, their own doctors, biologists, ecologists, to hold all press releases and go to the schools. The kids that were vomiting in schools, it was their doctors who were attending to them, telling their parents, oh, hey, it's cool.
It's no problem.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Since the Valdez oil spill, I cut up my how many years? We're talking 20 years ago?
I still haven't been to an Exxon station since then.
Me neither. Yeah, I will be on fumes, and I will drive right past it, and I cut my card up, and I sent it back. I said, clean up your mess. But let me tell you, remember we had the gas crisis?
Exxon's not one of our sponsors.
Would we want them?
I'm kidding.
All right.
Of course we would.
The CEO of Exxon was on the Today Show when we had the gas crisis, I don't know, maybe 5-6 years ago. And Matt Lauer was saying, I watched the first 23 minutes, half hour, because that's when they have all the news.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're interviewing him here. And Matt Lauer says to him, and I don't even know the guy's name, and frankly, I don't care to know his name, but Matt Lauer says, everybody else is lowering their prices. All the other gas companies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
whatever,
he really.
Blah,
yeah,
blah, blah.
Yeah.
And Matt Lauer says, why aren't you doing it? And the CEO of Exxon looked straight into the camera and he said, because I have an obligation to my stockholders. I screamed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was so angry.
So you know
okay, what? Wait. I'm going to stop you both because this is definitely a big discussion and we should have this discussion, but not right now. Firstly, I just want to say if anybody's looking for us and wants to participate in the conversation at all, go to our Facebook page, which is Green Divas Radio Show. Chime in there. I'm trying to keep an eye on it, and I know Jamie's keeping an eye on it. You can find us on Instagram or Twitter. ORG Green Divas, at ORG Green Divas, or at Green Diva Meg, or hashtag Green Divas. We're trying to keep an eye on people because I'd really like you to chime in on all this stuff. But now, I think we've got to go to the phones.
Go to the phone.
Go to the phone.
Elise.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you? Good. We're getting all charged up in here. I don't know if you're listening at all, but, you know, we're having fun.
We're on a bit of a rant.
It's good. It's kind of a charged up time, right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, if
that.
we don't get all, like, you know, hot and bothered about the earth, then who the heck is going to?
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So what's new since we talked to you last?
Well, you know, it's been a busy day for us. Today we actually launched our Earth Week initiative over at Greenies Universal, and we're calling it Share and Tell.
Oh, that's what that is. I noticed that on the app.
Yeah, I did too. I wasn't sure what that was about. Okay.
Yes. So it is, you know, an effort for us to share and encourage everyone to join the sharing economy and to upcycle instead of buying something new. And so we've partnered with this cool app and website called Yertle.
What?
Yes, Yertle.
Yertle?
Oh, Yertle. What is it?
Yertle. Yes, it's Yerdle, Yertle.
Oh, I thought you said girdle. I thought of my grandmother.
No, okay. No, no. Do not think of grandmothers here. Although you could encourage your grandmother to get on there and swap some stuff.
Yeah.
Well, you know, some of our grannies were pretty good at this stuff naturally.
No,
you know?
They were good at this stuff. What do I always say, Megan?
I know.
We have to go back to how our grandmothers did things.
Okay, we digress. Yertle to grannies. Go ahead.
Yertle to girdles to grannies.
I completely get it. My grandmother's the same way. So, yeah, it is basically like this online type swapping site where you find your friends and you either ask for things you're looking for or you swap things that you no longer need. So, you know, from, I don't know, bamboo mini speakers to there have been all sorts of crazy type things going up today. And all the NBC brands are getting in on the act, and they all have their own little swap and tell, kind of share and tell little things going on their Facebook page, and it's things that celebrities and the shows have used. So,
well, the Green Divas have to have a page now.
Come on. We have a lot to offer. I'm not sure.
I bet you do.
We do. We do, yeah. But is this sort of like a free cycle kind of a thing?
It kind of is, but it's cool in that it's your friends. It's usually people communities that you set up.
I really like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's and it goes through your Facebook page and or your Facebook account, and it kind of encourages you to find friends of friends and, you know, see who's already active on there, and it's super cool. I definitely encourage you to go on. And so
no, actually, that is something we're going to do a whole show about, swapping, about clothing swaps. You know, a lot of, you know, young parents have gotten smart about doing that kind of thing, and other women I know have gotten.
Well, because, you know, first of all, the toys that are sold are all plastic, and I hated buying them, but you know what? They're expensive.
Well, toys and clothes, and then also, like, my friend and I, she's an interior designer, and she's, you know, much better than me, but she happens to like some of my paintings, for instance, and we swapped paintings. We found paintings that were similar in value, and, you know, because you get bored of your stuff, but I'm not going to go out and buy another painting. I don't want to buy another painting.
No kidding. You know. Can you swap it back? And when you
Really? Yeah.
Oh, that's
perfect.
Nice. What a great idea.
I used to do that with toys with my mom friends. We had a mom group,
yep.
And especially when they were younger, we would take baskets of toys and we would just rotate them. These kids always, you know, the novelty of a toy dies off after a month or two,
yep.
And so you get a new basket of toys.
Oh, I love it.
Toys and kids' clothes, yeah, those are great items for it.
Yeah.
I gave
absolutely.
All of my daughter's clothes to my sister, but unfortunately she had twin girls, so that was like, you know, a little tougher, but that's okay.
So they
still wore them.
It,
yeah. Well, no, now they're 13 and they have their own taste. And they actually, you know, do you remember Green Diva Gina last week?
Yeah.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
My daughter had a bunch of clothes that she didn't want anymore. And I said to Gina, I said, do you want these? And they're all kind of hip and cool. My daughter's 22. Gina's 22 as well. And Gina said she had all of her friends over on campus and they all went home with clothes. Because my daughter's a pretty trendy dresser, but she gets tired of stuff.
Yeah.
You know? So I thought that was brilliant.
It is brilliant.
That she invited
absolutely.
People. She could have kept everything for herself, but she did share the wealth, which I thought was great. So this is really cool.
Oh, yeah. I love the story of stuff. I know one of the things here is watch Annie Leonard's. Yeah, I'm jealous. I really, really wish I...
You and me both,
yeah.
Diva.
Surprisingly
good stuff.
Enlightening story.
Yeah, and it's so simple, too.
Yep.
It really is.
Yeah.
I love story of stuff. It was actually probably the point at which I really started getting, you know, more into figuring out how I could live a more sustainable and eco lifestyle after I watched that.
Oh, well, yeah. Elise, I have a question. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No,
here's my question. Under stuff actions on the app, it says switch to reusable sandwich bags. Well, when I buy cereal, I keep the wax bags and I use those to store stuff. Does that count?
Absolutely. You're reusing it, right?
Well, they're the wax bags that come inside the cereal. And my kids think I'm nuts. But then when something fits in perfectly and they take it to work or whatever, they're like, oh, this is really cool, Mom. So, no, I don't buy any plastic bags ever. So can I make that as a complete then?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'll do that. I'm just
trying
to beat
what else I use. I found paper bags. That's the only type, because, you know, I have young kids and they go on field trips and they request that everything you be able to be thrown away. So I don't even want to send anything that might be thrown away and be horrible. So I get those paper, they're little paper sacks that decompose, when you throw them away. So,
all right, so we're going to send people where to find out a little bit more about this.
I want to go to
Yurtle. Absolutely, you can go to our Facebook page.
Okay.
Green is Universal. And right there, you'll see Share and Tell, front and center.
I've already, almost like the Share and Tell this week, I've, done all the actions. I'm pretty excited
awesome.
About that. Yeah, I feel special.
Yeah.
Well,
we definitely think that, sharing is a new shopping. That's kind of what we're saying.
Yeah, well, you know, we don't need to produce as much stuff, new stuff. I mean, really, there's enough stuff
really
flowing
don't.
Around
you
that
really
people
don't
use.
And I'll take stuff and I'll make new stuff out of it
all
the
time. Oh, yeah, she's very... This is the upcycling queen over here.
Yeah, I love doing that.
Favorite thing to pin.
Me too.
Upcycle Pinterest things.
Oh, yeah. That's the best. I should have my own page on there, but I don't have the time
Between,
or the technology
Well, I have
expertise.
A page for you. I mean, you know, most of the Green Diva Crafty stuff is you.
Oh, well, that's nice
to
know.
Hello.
Okay.
There you go.
And Elise, it looks like NBC is doing a lot of great things around Earth Week and around sustainability these days. You want to just touch on that real quick?
Yeah, absolutely. That's kind of the sharing economy and the share and tell. And, we're spearheading it, but we're definitely a lot of the brands that are taking part of it are USA, Style, Bravo, E, all the different brands all have their own things going on, Sprout and Oxygen and CNBC and MSNBC, and, you know, they're really cool. What they're doing is all the books that were brought to them by guests, a lot of them, they're swapping them. They're signing
them.
That's
good,
and swapping them.
Very cool. So I have this really great idea,
Elise. I have to do that. I have 300 books.
Well, I have a really great idea. I think that as a brand, the Green Divas with our attachment, the Green Dude, need to be on the Today Show to spread the word. How do you make that happen?
I was on CNBC.
I wish I knew how to do that.
What's that?
I said, I wish I knew how to get on the Today
Dad
Show.
Dadgummit, because
really.
This is where...
At least you should be there.
You should at least be there, because, that's a great platform. Or even with Kathy Lee and Hoda.
We did a segment on CNBC a couple years ago. I did one on home energy efficiency and financially, whether or not it makes sense. And that was a fun one.
Well... We'll all keep working on that.
Those are tough nuts to crack.
Yeah, I'm so excited you called in, Elise, and,
the
great work you're doing, and we're having fun with the One Small Act campaign, and I'm going to keep playing with it.
Yeah, Ed won't tell me what his score is until he's over 4,000 because he thinks you'll get close, but I keep telling him, you got to work harder than that.
so we've thrown down
the gauntlet between the two of us.
Green.
Well, I'm going to watch you. I have the powers that be from behind the scenes.
All right. Thank you so much, Elise. That's awesome.
That is awesome. Thanks.
Green is universal, people.
Thanks.
Thanks, Elise. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye. Happy Earth Week.
You too. Let's take a quick break, and then we just got too much good stuff going on.
I know.
Sorry, guys.
I
hate to be like the big bad, bummer. Got to close it.
You're the radio Nazi.
I am. I'm the radio diva.
She's clamping down.
Welcome to Green Light with the original Green Diva, Megan McWilliams. Useful ideas for low-stress green living straight from the Fun Green Divas radio show.
What do you do with your used electronics? Stay tuned to learn about e-waste.
Hey, Meg, I have to get some presents, and of course I have to buy green. Got any ideas where to go?
Yeah, buygreen.com is my favorite place to shop online for anything green. Here, check this out.
Ooh, look at that great rating system.
It's simple, clear, look at all the goodies. One-stop shopping for home or office.
Ooh, wait, did you see that bag?
Buygreen.com, a Green Diva's trusted source for great green shopping. We produce 50 metric tons of e-waste every year, but only about 15% of that gets recycled. That is the equivalent of tossing 100,000 fully loaded 747s into landfills. So what is e-waste? Discarded computers, laptops, cell phones, TVs, DVRs, etc. Here are a couple of ways to unload your electronics. Donate them to local charities. To find a responsible e-recycler near you, go to eCyclingCentral.com. Please do your homework and make sure your e-waste doesn't end up going overseas, where it is often handled irresponsibly.
To find out more about the Green Divas radio show and podcast, visit thegreendivas.com.
Hi, my name is Mariel Hemingway, and you're listening to Green Divas radio show. You're going to get great information. You're going to have a good time.
Every Green Diva needs a sidekick. At the Green Divas radio show, they're called Green Dudes. Time now for a deeper shade of green from a guy's perspective.
Dude.
Hey.
That's what I want.
Green Divas.
I know, always, right?
Yeah.
Oh, it's always great to be here, and especially the last show before Earth Day, so this is a special one for us. Hey, I'm going to ask all our listeners out there for a little help with this one, because we're going to share some ideas for Earth Day, but what I want you to do is to send us your ideas, and let's get really creative.
Yeah.
Green Diva Meg, tell us how they can send it into Twitter, to Facebook, to...
Well, two ways you can do it. Do hashtag Green Divas.
Hashtag Green Divas.
Any of your Twitter ideas to hashtag Green Divas, and we'll pick up on it, and we'll talk about it on the air. Next week, and then Facebook, just go to the Facebook page and, put something.
Can they send us like a 10-second video?
Oh, that would be lovely.
Wouldn't that be fun if we can get everybody to send us a 10-second video? Like, for instance, go out with your laundry and say, on a warm day, hang your laundry out to dry.
Sort of like the Green Sisterhood little
Each.
Yeah,
10 seconds each. Just do that. That would be really cool.
I think that's a great idea.
There is an app for that, and I'm looking it up right now. It works with Twitter. It's called Vine, V-I-N-E.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. There is a video, yeah.
Okay. I'm just hearing everybody downloading this app.
And if you just want to go to Green Divas Radio show on Facebook and comment, we'll tally it up. Thank you. So let's go, Ed. Go.
All right, because I get questions all the time. What can I do, or how can I get my family or my kids involved with doing things for Earth Day? And one of the first things I always tell people is make it fun and make it enjoyable. There's so much you can do. So one of the things that we're doing locally is getting the local schools involved and with our town and getting people to pledge to do one thing. Do one thing that positively impacts the environment or deepens your appreciation for it or reduces the amount of pollution you produce or gas or oil or energy you use. So many things. For me, one of the things that I've always enjoyed doing is river cleanups. There's a great group called the Waterkeeper Alliance, run by our friend Robert, or started by our friend Robert Kennedy Jr.
Yeah.
So since my little guy was young, it was a bonding experience where we'd get involved with the Hackensack River Keeper here in Jersey. But there's water keepers actually throughout the entire world. I believe there's a few hundred of them now on every continent except Antarctica.
Not many rivers in Antarctica.
Well, there may be. Right? There may be.
Under the ice? Yeah. I don't know.
And for me, it's always been a fun experience. You get out in nature. In parts of, you know, upscale northern New Jersey, a lot of people think, oh, isn't cleaning up something that prisoners do on the side of the road?
Well, I think you said
that's
the right
funny.
Word, upscale.
That's why I tell people, you know what? Do something that is fun for you. And, you know, that could be anything like trying new foods, trying meatless Mondays and vegetarian.
Because eating vegan and vegetarian is a lot better for your carbon footprint, right? It's a lot lighter.
Absolutely. These are all things you can do. Get involved.
Can I mention a couple things?
Oh, sure. Hop right in.
Well, because I'm doing a post on this. Every year I do a post about basically unplugging for Earth Day. For me, I mean, we get a lot of gadgets thrown at us, and, you know, because we do what we do, people want us to review all these fabulous things, right? But I want to be like an anti-consumer Earth Day. And so, like, it's like, get outside. Go look at a tree. Look at nature. Unplug. Read a book. What a novel concept. I know. Play with the kids. Eat a healthy meal, and you mentioned that, locally grown, of course, if you can. Do a DIY upcycling project.
Yeah.
I just kind of feel like I want to unplug on Earth Day and be less about all the hype and...
Oh, it could be something as simple as, you know what, all around the country, they have Sierra Clubs, local chapters. Get involved with them. Go for a hike or a nature walk.
Yeah.
It frees up your mind, helps you relax. It's a way for you to help appreciate nature.
I have my chats with the Almighty when I go for walks.
Yeah, sure.
You know, it's my way of kind of connecting. That's my church.
I literally hug trees. I mean, I like trees. I like touching them. I you know, seriously.
Yes,
I actually do both. And when I go for a hike with the Almighty, Mrs. Eco Ed.
I was waiting for that.
Chance for us to chat.
I was waiting for that.
I used to go with my dog, which backwards is the Almighty, if you think about it, right? So when Cody was still alive, but I still do. And my daughter goes, I don't like to go on walks by myself with Roxy, because this is her dog that she brought to the house. And I said, you're not alone. Just have a chat with the Almighty. You know?
Now, can I mention one more thing real quick?
Sure.
And then I'm going to give it back to you. And that is that Whole Foods has something interesting going on. You know, I don't know about a lot. I mean, I've gotten so many press releases on activities and events. I just unplug and don't do any of it. But I just did want to mention something that looked kind of interesting called We Are Earthlings.
What's that?
They've got a website, and it's all about Earthlings, and they're asking people to participate by going to this earthlingmonth.com. Mm.
Earthlingmonth.com.
And they have a lot. There's a film. There's a lot of different ways you can participate by uploading things to Instagram of things you're doing, daily activities that have to do with being more aware of the Earth, obviously, and how we all inhabit and participate. And I think they have some giveaways. And I thought, you know, something like that, you know, there's Whole Foods everywhere. And that's something you can do online if you're going to be plugged in. I mean, and it's all month long. It's not just Earth Day. So I just wanted to give that a little plug because I thought it was interesting.
It's neat. And that's why I encourage people to do something that's fun for you. And what is fun for you is different for everyone. So I'm not here to preach or tell people, you know what, they have to, you know, keep your house freezing or you know.
I do that. My kids just despise me.
I've always had that discussion with Mrs. Eco, Ed. Yep,
there's no discussion in my house, Ed. None.
So here's some fun ideas. You know what? Pick through them and see what's fun for you. The simple things, when you pledge to do one simple thing, or everything from, you know, changing light bulbs in your house to CFLs or LED bulbs. We mentioned meatless Mondays, trying a vegetarian meal, recycling a little more, reducing your solid waste. You're shopping at local farmers markets. And if you know what, there's no reason to limit it to a simple thing. You can go out and you can plant beneficial flowers in your yards.
Attract the bees. Would the bees need us?
The bees and the
butterflies.
The hummingbees, butterflies, it's all awesome.
Okay, Ed, we got all this stuff is going to go on thegreendivas.com. So go to the post for for this show in particular, and Jamie is going to take Ed's notes, and we're going to get it all in there.
All right. We'll give some really great tips for people to get out there, have fun, and enjoy Earth Day 2013.
Make it an Earth year.
Want more information on this Green Dude segment and other ideas for low-stress green living? Go to thegreendivas.com. That's T-H-E, greendivas.com. Reduce, recycle, reuse, and if you're feeling creative, repurpose. Repurposing is one of Green Diva Mizar's favorite DIY things to do, and it's fun.
Well, you know, as Meg mentioned at the top of the show, we kind of have a theme today. We're talking about corks, and folks, when we talk to Patrick, our interview, in a couple of minutes, you're going to be amazed at about corks.
Amazed.
You are. It's amazing. I learned so much from Patrick. Anyway, we'll get to that in a minute.
Amazing resource, right?
Well, that's just it. And there's a whole trickle-down economy, sustainability issue that's going on with it. But because I like to reuse and repurpose, in my post, I'm the first to admit that I find something really tactile and sexy and beautiful about corks. And I don't know why. I think maybe I was a Portuguese cork bark harvester at one point in a life.
You think it has anything to do with being a wino?
Well, maybe.
I do like
my red wine. But
seeing a couple corks on the table always means it was a good night.
It was exactly right.
Well, I mean, I just got to say, I don't drink wine, but I love cork. I'm just teasing
cork
you.
Cork is a beautiful...
Cork is a fun, squishy thing.
It's a phenomenal material.
Squishy.
So for the post, I did little wine charms, and there's a ton of different things you can do with them. They can get a little complicated. And then just now, if you go to the website... Did you put it on the website already?
Yeah, I did.
I made little garden markers.
They're amazing. And she did this in literally like 5 minutes.
They've already got the hole screwed in them. You know, if you're taking it out with the cork.
Corkscrew?
Yeah, that's what it is. I was about to say it in Italian.
Really?
Because we never know where it is. And we always say, dove il cavatappi? Cavatappi.
Really? Sounds like food.
Cavatappi.
Doesn't it sound like cavatelli tappi?
Yeah.
I had that with vodka sauce the other night.
Cavatappi.
Cavatappi.
But... So there's a ton of stuff. And then instead of going through different things, what I did is I just didn't... Oh, and there's also a video on there, too, that folks really have to see.
Did you do it?
No, I just put a link on there.
Okay.
About how cork is harvested.
Oh.
And why it is essential to maintain these cork forests.
Yeah.
And I did admit, I mean, it's hard to find... There are a bunch of videos, but the one that I found most comprehensive is that... it was done by a producer of cork products, which is fine. I just didn't want to give anybody a plug.
Yeah.
But
that's what Patrick's going to talk about.
He is. And I was fascinated when I met Patrick 2 years ago. So anyway.
And you did it like a step-by-step DIY,
for wine glass charms.
Tutorial.
It's on there. And then I just said, I encourage folks just to Google repurpose cork. And go to the images, and what you see there is amazing. I mean, just let your mind go. There's just so much you can do with cork, from keychains to earrings to garden markers to place settings to doormats to cork boards to somebody made a backsplash in their kitchen with cork.
Ooh, and cork. And then, of course, you have, like, cork flooring and major, you know.
Right.
And I have... My niece was like the only importer of cork for a while, I don't know, back in the 90s or something.
Yeah.
With a Portuguese company that was making purses and shoes.
Oh, you were supposed to get that out for me.
I know. I got to get that and take a picture of it.
Yeah, because I wanted to see that. So anyway, I'm not going to go on here because I could. Just suffice to say I find cork an amazing material, and I know Patrick is waiting to talk to us.
And as a DIY, queen...
Yeah.
All right.
Well, it's going out over.
All right, so we'll wrap up this segment, and in a minute we're going to have Patrick Spencer calling, and he's the director of Cork Forest Conservation Alliance, to talk a little bit more about what you touched on, which is that this amazing resource is there for us, but we have to preserve the cork forest,
and I'm going to insist that when Patrick goes to Portugal next time, that I go
with
him.
We're both going.
Patrick, you hear us? I know he's going to be on the phone any minute, but...
for step-by-step instructions on this DIY project and to find out more about the Green Divas radio show and podcasts, visit thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com.
Portugal, here we come.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
And who knew? I mean, Portugal, like, that's one of their biggest, like, things.
The bulk,
cork,
the bulk of all of our cork comes from Portugal and Spain.
When I was in Barcelona a couple summers ago, I tried to talk Mrs. Ecoed into taking a drive up there to visit the cork forests.
And she had none, didn't want any part
of
it?
Yeah, she was less than enthusiastic about
really?
It.
Really?
Why? Why? I would give my eye teeth.
It looks fascinating
there.
To me. Really? All those naked trees.
That's what they are, the naked trees.
The naked trees. All right, hang on. I think we have Patrick. Hello, Patrick.
Hello, Mizar.
Well, no. That's Megan, but we sound alike. This is Mizar. That's Megan.
And hello, Patrick. This is Ecoed. I believe we met at the Green Fest a couple years ago.
Yes, you did. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for calling in.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
All right. So you are up to your eyeballs in corks. I was telling folks that we did meet. This is Mizar again. That we met, was it 2 years ago, at the Garden State Green Fest? And
yep.
What I learned about corks that for over 2 days was, to me, fascinating and has never left me, and neither has that bar betting game that you taught me with corks, which we can get into later. and I have fascinated a lot of people with that.
Games
but
with cork.
Tell us, Patrick, what is it that got you so involved enough to start this nonprofit organization?
Well, I've always been in the food and beverage industry, and as a chef and as a restaurant owner, I was fortunate to live in a region of the country in the Berkshires, up in western Massachusetts.
Wait a minute! I got to stop you right there. Where did you live in the Berkshires?
Pittsfield.
Really? I lived in Great Barrington for a long time. We'll talk about that later. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Great. So you know the Berkshires has always had a really strong. Sort of artist community and a very strong community that was committed to sustainable lifestyles and I got involved in the slow food movement there and really understood what it meant to try to be sustainable and have the planet capable of providing for us. And then when I left the restaurant business, I moved to Oregon and became the sustainability coordinator for a winery here in Oregon, Willamette Valley Vineyards, and during that time, they had made a commitment to using 100% natural cork in all of their bottles, but they also wanted to take it one step further and use certified cork, which is certified by the Forest Stewardship Council, or the FSC.
Yep.
So I was put in charge to work with not only the cork companies, but the FSC to devise opportunities for us to get FSC cork. And one of those opportunities that was provided to me was a trip to Portugal to visit the cork forest and to learn firsthand about cork manufacturing. And I think it's interesting that I think all of us at some point in life have some sort of epiphany or some that aha moment when something happens and you realize this is what I'm supposed to do. And I got to the cork forest and between spending time in the forest and then spending time with the people in the plants who produce cork and learning about these forests in a way that I'd never understood them before, it made perfect sense that, you know, this is what I should be doing with my life. That, 27 years ago when the Rainforest Alliance first started, I don't think many North Americans had a great awareness of how important the Amazonian rainforest were to the health of our planet. And I think that, you know, our organization is sort of like the Rainforest Alliance but for the cork forest.
Right.
Because very little is known about the cork forest outside of...
Yeah, no kidding.
So educate us. Yeah, I mean, Patrick, I mean, tell us why, because there's a whole component. It's economic, it's sustainability, there's a lot that goes into this, and we just don't know.
Yeah, tell us real quick about how it's harvested.
I think that because cork is considered kind of a commodity product in the world, I don't think it gets a lot of it doesn't get a lot of press from the world because part of it is the cork industry themselves. I don't think they've done as good a job acres of cork forest literally keep that part of the world from becoming a desert. It's very arid there. It's very prone to forest fires, and it's very dry. And these forests are really they're like the firewall between desert and a loss of the biodiversity that exists in those forests. And I think that there are a lot of other things that the world is focused on, and I think that I just think it's not that people are unwilling to learn about the cork forest. I just don't think that there's been enough education about them.
Oh, and absolutely.
We're the only organization in North America whose sole mission is to preserve and protect the cork forest. So
I found it interesting that on your Facebook page, would you tell me what the name of that is again?
Cork Reharvest.
Thank you, Cork Reharvest. You had a question there, you know, that about do you think that or how is it put? It was like a little questionnaire about.
You know, do you think that cork trees are cut down to produce cork?
Thank you.
Right.
And I think surprisingly, most people believe that they are.
Tell us real quick, Patrick, about the harvesting process.
And I think it's because cork forestry is so counterintuitive to the way we as North Americans think about forestry. We when we think of a forest product or you know any kind of wood product, we think about trees being cut down, the trees being removed from that land, and then leaving this gaping hole, upsetting the ecosystem of that area, and just pulling all of the wood out of the forest. And it's not, I mean, it's not a stretch of imagination to assume that if you know that cork is a wood product, that you would think that was the exact same situation. The great part about cork forestry is, unlike every other forestry in the world, the trees are never cut down. The cork is the bark of the tree, and it is hand-harvested. It's actually the only tree in the world that you can remove all of the bark from without harming the tree. And then the beautiful part is it grows back, and it's reharvested every 9 years
it's
for
amazing.
Up to 200 years.
When you told me that, and the stuff that I found on YouTube that showed us that, and I included it in my post as well, I'm just fascinated by it. I don't know why. It's hard to wrap my brain around it. That's why I have to go to Portugal with you next time, Patrick, like when you go. Okay? Because, like, I'm ready to go. But they literally, they have these generations of people that have been doing it. I mean, people who have been doing it for generations.
Yeah, see, I think people are under the misconception that cork is limited like most other resources. And so, let's say you're buying a bottle of wine, and they think, oh, well, we want to preserve the cork tree, so we don't want cork, you know, and they might think that the plastic or the bottle top is better. And I know you've done some research on that's the opposite, right?
Yeah, I mean, we have people, you know, I speak all over the country, and we do a lot of sustainability festivals and fairs and wine and food conventions. And it's amazing, after I speak, how many people will come up to me and say, I buy screw cap wines because I thought I was saving the cork
forest. Right.
I heard they were cutting the trees down and that there was a cork shortage.
Right.
Now, those are, without going to the dark side, those are rumors that have been propagated by those who have a vested financial interest in selling alternative closures other than cork.
He said it so diplomatically.
Yeah, really, that was, you could be a politician.
It's the plastic and screw cap lobbies, I know that.
And a quick plug for our friends at Whole Foods. I know I take my cork from bottles of wine and bring them back to Whole Foods, and they're part of the program that recycles them.
Yes, that's our program. And I'll give you an example of how good a partner Whole Foods is to us and how the American public has actually really latched on to this. Last year, we collected, through our Whole Foods partnerships across the United States, 68 tons of cork. Matt, that, just to put that into cork numbers, that's over 14 million natural wine corks we collected last year.
What?
From American.
Whoa.
14 million? Yeah. Did you say 14 million with an M? Wow.
14 million, yes.
And then what's...
And that's just a drop in the bucket, because there are 13 billion natural wine corks produced each year.
Wow.
And what happens with this once it's recycled?
Well, what we do is we have recycling partners across the United States. It was because what we wanted to do in creating this recycling program, the important part of the recycling program was cork in a landfill isn't necessarily a bad thing.
You've been listening to the Green Diva Radio.
It'll biodegrade, it'll compost, it's 100% natural. So by putting it in a landfill, you're not really, the only bad part about that is that we're trying to reduce the waste in our landfills. But what we wanted to do was, if we were going to recycle it and keep it out of the landfill, we didn't want to truck it around the world or across the United States and add to its carbon footprint. So what we've done is we've established cork recycling partnerships across the United States. On the East Coast, our corks go to Savannah, Georgia. They're ground up and used for a number of different commercial products. In
really?
Sort of the Midwest, we've got a partner at Corkology in Chicago that also uses them for kitchen items and for furniture, and they mold them into different things. In the Midwest, they're made into cork floor tiles, and on the West Coast, we've got a partner that grinds them up and mixes them with repulped newspaper and then molds them into shippers, which are then sold to the wine industry, and they cradle the bottles so that when a winery wants to sell wine to a wine club member, not to a distributor, but to one of their private club members, they put their bottles in these crates, these cradles, to protect them during shipping.
Well, it's greener packaging, right?
It eliminates the styrofoam they were using, and that shipper is now biodegradable and compostable.
Nice.
Wonderful. Patrick, tell us about this cube project that you have going from city to city.
We have a project, and we're building a cork art cube. We've actually got a funding program right now on a funding website called Indiegogo.com, and it's called the QR Cork Cube Project. And what we're trying to do is create a beautiful piece of sculptural artwork out of thousands of natural used wine corks. And on the cube itself, this sculpture will be a QR code, so people with their smartphones can go see this beautiful piece of artwork and then scan it, and then they will be able to see some really interesting videos about the cork. They can do. We're trying to make this as interactive and fun for people as we possibly can, because where we're planning on putting the cube is in airports and museums and public spaces. Places where people are milling about and have some free time, or you know, put it in a mall. We're trying to put it in a couple of malls, so that people who see this piece of artwork will go, "Wow! Not only is that beautiful, but it's got a QR code on it." And we know that people who have smartphones don't have smartphones because they get better telephone reception. They have smartphones because they like to play with them.
So we
wanted to create something that was beautiful, but also that if you scanned it with your smartphone, your iPhone, whatever, you'd have a really fun, interactive video experience.
Well, if you're going
to
be
learn about cork for it.
If you're going to be addicted to, like, a little smartphone, then you might as well do something good with it, right?
This is a very clever idea, Patrick. Did you come up with this?
Yeah, I did. I took a little seminar on QR codes, and I learned about why they're great, and then about why the American public's not really invested in them, and marketing companies don't really use them. And I thought, you know, this is a really neat opportunity for us to tell a story and to reach thousands of people without having to actually travel and speak in front of groups and whatever. I think it's a nice way. I'm hoping we'll get the funding to be able to do it. But I thought it'd be a great way. Our organization, the team, came up with this idea, and we thought, well, wouldn't it be nice to be able to bring this to 15 cities across the United States, leave it there for a month, and let people just casually, without being spoken to or being lectured, learn about the cork forest and maybe get a little piece of information that would be helpful so that they learn a little bit about these forests.
Attraction rather than promotion. And you know what? We're going to put that link on the site with the other information about
Cork Art Project.
Thank you.
I wrote it down because I knew I'd forget it. Did I say it right, Patrick?
Perfect.
Oh,
QR Cork Art Cube.
Two cube. Oh, okay. That's okay. QR Cork Art Cube. Man, could you make it any easier?
You know
what? Because
when we were sitting around figuring out, you know, like on these. His sites, they tell you should make a video to engage people and make your video short. And we don't have a lot of funds to go out and hire a really cool video company. So So what we did, one of our team members came up with it and said, listen, why don't we make something really quirky and it won't cost us any money? And so what we did was we made a video with a Lego person that the team thought looked like me, and we did a stop animation video with a Lego person about the course and the cube project.
Oh yeah, we will definitely link to that because that's entertainment.
It is, but you know what, Patrick? I'm thinking if after a glass or two of wine, you expect me to say this, it's just forget about it. Forget about it. I mean, I'll just get well. I can handle my wine actually. As we all know, right, Patrick? We had a lovely dinner. Can I tell folks about how we met really fast?
Yeah, we were at a green sustainability festival, and I apologize, but I forget the name of the university.
Kane University in New Jersey.
I did that one once.
And we were right across from each other, and it was just, I mean, you know, when you do those kind of festivals for 3 days, you always end up talking to the people around you, and it just turned out that it was just a remarkable and wonderful connection between Nizar and her family, and, you know, it was one of those things where it was like, I was staying at a hotel in Newark, which is not, I think, the nicest town in America. But
well, it has its advantages.
But quick plug for Cory Booker, who's doing a great job.
Said, why don't you come to our house for dinner? And it was just the sweetest invitation. And we had such a great night. And we cooked, we ate, we played music, we talked, we told stories.
Did you guys make cork?
It was one of the best experiences I've had on the road.
Well, thank you very much for that. But I'm grateful for that. For the friendship that was born when we popped the cork.
I bet you produced a couple of cork, cork
bottles.
Well,
we certainly produced a lot of empty bottles.
Now, Patrick, I know your name and your voice sounds familiar. I'm actually certain that we've met, if not in the Berkshires, at one of these events.
I'm sure we have.
Yeah, it's funny. Well,
and
it
one
is
of the
a
things,
small
one of the things I want to say about the cork force, if I have a moment.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what I would like your listeners to take away from this is 90% of the forests are owned by individual family farmers who have been doing this for generations. And we talked about how the cork trees are not cut down. But one of the things that I think really touched me probably the most when I went to Portugal for the first time was I was on a farmer's property in his forest. And this man was 48 years old. And he said to me, Patrick, when I was 6 years old, my grandfather, who owned this farm originally, taught me how to start learning how to cut cork on the tree, because cork is harvested by hand. There's no mechanical tools. It's all done by hand in a generations-old, time-honored tradition. And he said to me, my grandfather taught me when I was 6 years old to start holding the axe and to learn how to cut cork on this tree. And now here this man is 48 years old. He's got children that he's raising, and it's really kind of it's really an amazing emotional connection that these farmers have to the individual trees on their property. That they've been to those trees over, you know, every single 9 years. They've been to those trees. They know them. They know how they've produced, how they've grown. And that doesn't happen anywhere else in the world of forestry.
Patrick, I'm so glad that you're doing what you're doing. I mean, and I consider myself fairly enlightened, but I've learned an awful lot just in doing a little research for the interview, but listening to you today. So we have to go because we've run out of time, but we're going to, you know, put some information on the site about this, and then, you know, we'll share the podcast. And
we'll have you back.
We'll have you back. There's more. There's always more.
Thank you so much. It was really an honor for me to be invited onto your show. I had a great time. And please invite me back anytime. We'd love to talk more.
We will.
You got it.
Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Patrick.
Bye-bye.
And a quick plug for Newark, because that's always... That's always been a running joke in New Jersey, but the mayor of Newark, Cory Booker, is doing a great job with education, with bringing up the community, getting involved in sustainability. So it's actually, he's made tremendous progress.
Newark is definitely on the upswing. And we have to go, kids, so... I want to say thank you so much. Everybody have a really mindful Earth Week. And, enjoy yourself and celebrate Mama Earth.
Right.
And a great Earth Day. Get out there and enjoy it and do something good for the planet.
And let
yourself.
Us know. Let us know what you're doing.
Yeah, please send us your videos.
And we'll talk about
it
next week. We have an exciting week next week. Please stay tuned. Follow us on, you know, Twitter and Facebook and all that fun stuff. And look for this post on thegreendivas.com. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Green Divas Radio Show. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, follow them on Facebook and Twitter, and don't forget to visit the blog at thegreendivas.com. That's T-H-E, greendivas.com. And remember to share the good green news with friends and family.